I am encouraged by Ash Carter's memo, which says that's one of the things they want to address. So I hope we'll make progress. I haven't seen a significant change since I spoke to you last.
A lot of changes, though, in both the procurement environment when we talked to about a year ago, Obama administration just coming in. I don't think there was even an OFPP administrator at that point. And there are a lot of different changes going on. You know, they always ask, right track, wrong track. Are the changes positive?
Well, obviously, things are a lot different today than a year ago.
Yeah, right.
And I think they're responding to what they see. And, you know, let me focus on defense because there's been a lot of news coming out of there lately.
Really?
So, yeah, you know, it's hard to argue with Secretary Gates or Carter about efficiency, right? I mean, that's a hard thing to say. It's bad to want efficiency.
Right.
So at the high level, I'd say I think they're on the right track what they want to do. The problem is in the implementation of it. So that remains to be seen because it's not quite clear exactly how those initiatives will get implemented.
And I know there's some concern among particularly the IT field because they're doing something with the CIO. They haven't really said what it is or where it's going to end up. And I know it's had some people a little worried.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of issues, and IT, of course, it's not only IT. IT and services generally are a major portion of their budget. So it's natural to want to focus on where you're spending a lot of money when you're trying to economize, right? You always go after the places where there's large pots of money because it's just easier to take it out of those places.
Right.
So, you know, and again, it's hard to argue that they don't need to improve efficiency and that they can't economize on things they're doing. And I think that's great. I think that's the right approach. And I would support that. I think they have to be a little careful about the implementation of it. And, you know, a good example, let's pick on insourcing, right? I know there's been a variety of initiatives and of late, I guess the most recent thinking is that perhaps the cost savings that were anticipated by insourcing have not shown to be quite what they wanted. So the focus now is more on trying to cut the budgets, reduce the money versus trying to move jobs around. And, you know, that's when I say about implementation, you have to be careful because my argument would be that while I would support the insourcing of anything that is inherently governmental, I think that's right. I think the government should do what government has to do, and that shouldn't be farmed out. But I would argue that anything that's not inherently governmental ought to be contracted out because you can award that on a competitive basis. You can drive efficiency over time by requiring service levels, other things. This applies both to IT and other type services. And I think the government gets a benefit and the taxpayers get a benefit from doing it that way.
Two points on that. We were talking to Rob Burton, the former deputy OFPP administrator, and he said he doesn't really – a lot of this, they're talking about more competition, and that – how do you have more competition and insource stuff? They almost seem to be in conflict with one another.
Well, you can have more competition for the things that aren't insourced.
Right,
I guess.
Yeah. So.
Okay, you know, that works. You know, some of the initiatives they're talking about, for example, are shortening the period of performance on contracts so that you have more frequent competitions for that kind of work, for the same work. So if one example I think is, you know, we have a 4-year contract, they're going to move it to 3 years now and they'll compete it more regularly. You know, that has pluses and minuses. The more frequent competition may get them additional improvements in cost efficiency and those things that they want. But you also have to recognize that that'll cost money.
Yeah.
And in the government contracting world, that cost ultimately goes back to the government through overhead rates. And therefore, you have to make sure that the efficiency you gain is going to offset the cost that you're going to incur.
The other issue here is the definition of inherently governmental, and I'm guessing what you consider inherently governmental is different from what the head of the AFGE or one of the employee unions thinks. How do you define – what would be the Dr. Sloan definition of something that's inherently governmental?
Well, I don't have one, and here's my argument because I get asked that a lot. If you think of it as a spectrum, at one end of the spectrum, there's things that are clearly governmental, right? And few people would argue with it. The other end of the spectrum, there's things that are clearly not governmental, and few people would argue that. The problem is in the gray area.
Right.
And you can't, I don't think, draw a fine black line between inherently governmental and not inherently governmental. But that should not deter us from doing what I said. So, okay, we can argue over the gray area and you know, spend some time deciding whether those are or aren't. But now I think the tendency is to move the line way too far past there and want to try and bring jobs in that aren't.
And is it generally a third, a third, a third? A third is inherently governmental, a third is not, and then a third is that center area?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think it's more probably like 15%, 5%, and, you know, the balance,
right.
80%. So, no, I don't think it's quite that large.
Not quite that big.
Quite that equal a division.
As you look at this and as they have made changes, the changes that they've made so far, are there any indications as to how this will end up? Is it going to be successful?
Well,
I was reading through the speech, and it sounded a little bit like the, you know, it had Eisenhower tones of, you know, military-industrial complex,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it sometimes feels like deja vu all over again. You know, some of these speeches seem like, you know, we talk about the same things over and over again.
Yeah, well, I think that's true of a lot of things associated with government and government contracting. I mean, we have repeated these things several times. The great example, of course, is wanting to move to fixed price contract.
Right.
We tried that before. It didn't quite work. Will it work? Yes. Will it achieve the level that they want? I don't know.
Right.
Certainly not without some pain, because the targets they've set, you know, are pretty aggressive. And I would worry a little bit that you'll start to really affect the way the department operates to try and get to those levels. So I think the argument is not whether it'll be successful or not, but how close to the targets will they be able to get?
Beyond cutting just fat, all of a sudden you're cutting into bone.
Right.
That really makes a difference. Part of this is that firm fixed price, and they keep talking about going to those kinds of deals rather than – what's the downside of a firm fixed price?
It depends on the nature of the work. If you want to think about developmental programs in the defense arena, trying to do that on a fixed price basis is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Once you get into rate production, of course, it's a little easier. So fixed price and fixed price incentive type programs in those circumstances, I think, are a great idea, and everybody wins. You know, if you incentivize companies to achieve more savings, to, you know, be more innovative, they will do that because there's a good incentive to do it. So I support that, but I think it would be a big mistake to apply the wrong contracting model for the particular application.
Hmm. We started off talking about protests, and then we sort of quickly glossed over it. But I know it's been one of your big concerns, and they've talked about it, but not there haven't really been any significant changes. Is that a mistake?
Well, I think Carter's memo specifically mentioned the need for to look at that, although there wasn't a lot of specifics
right.
on how to go about doing that. You know, that's a two-edged sword, and I don't. We want to strike a balance, in my opinion, between improving the process and reducing the number of unnecessary or frivolous protests, because I think those hurt everybody. But we also have to make sure that we maintain the ability for people who are treated unfairly
mm-hmm.
in the process to have a voice and have another hearing about it. And that's the problem, is how do you get that balance?
Yeah.
Right now, I think the problem has swung a little too far, the pendulum's a little too far, you know, on the other side, and we've got to do something to fix it, because it's a horrible inefficiency for the system. It costs the taxpayers a lot of money, and from a business point of view, it's just a real nuisance.
I keep reading things in various, I mean, I think Jack Welch, former GE CIO, said the Obama administration is anti-business. Does it have that kind of connotation, or is it not nearly that? It's not nearly that grandiose.
We're talking protests specific?
Right.
No, actually, I would argue that the protest process is pro-business. The problem is that it has to have some constraints put on it. I think it's become a little bit too much of a tool for some folks who want to – it's not so much they think they were treated unfairly is, you know, well, let me protest. Why not? You know,
and as you say, keeping that balance, making sure it's fair to everyone, both sides.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to just touch, because you've been in this job, what, almost 3 years now?
Yeah, around 3 years.
How are you liking it?
I love it. Best job in the world.
And the company on right track? Are you happy with what you've been able to accomplish in 3 years?
Well, I will never, if I live to be 100, probably never say I've done everything exactly the way I want to do it. But it's a great company. We're doing pretty darn good. I'm very, very happy with where we are today. And I think, looking at the future, I'd say it's pretty bright. Now we have some clouds on the horizon with defense budgets and federal budgets and CRs and protests, and all of those kinds of things. But, it's...
Don't we always? Goes
with the territory.
It's called keeping me in business. It keeps me with a job, thank goodness.
Yeah.